Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, welcome to the Naked Professors podcast with me, Matt Johnson, and Ben Bidwell. Today, Ben, don't we have a very special guest, a friend of mine, Laura Whitmore.
We do, and what I love, what are we on, episode 7 or something like that?
We're up there in the 7s.
We are, aren't we?
Yeah.
Each one brings something different, and Laura did that again with us today. Really balanced. What a lovely sort of balanced attitude she's got to life. Very grounded.
It was really interesting because Laura hasn't got a specific thing that we all know about. Like, you know, there was no big battle with depression, anxiety or addiction or anything. Laura's attitude towards mental health is very, very balanced and very positive and very interesting. And what was great to talk to her about the responsibility of people in the public eye and as well, and how important she feels role models are, as she's a UNICEF ambassador. And what I liked about this especially is what we're going for, Ben. We talked and we had a discussion about mental health for over an hour. It was a beautiful thing, wasn't it?
Completely. And she's got a lovely attitude to things like kindness. You know, fundamentally, I think she just wants people, humanity, to be good people. She wants to work hard and be nice and be kind. And it's quite a simple philosophy, I think, that really seems to work very well for her.
Yeah. So here we go. This is Laura Whitmore on the Naked Professors podcast. Welcome to the Naked Professors studio, Laura Whitmore.
Who's fully dressed, hi.
Yes, you are.
You didn't read the memo, did you, Laura?
No, it's really cold outside.
It is nippy.
Goose pimples everywhere. Nippy is the right word to use.
Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
No problem at all. How are you today?
Yeah, not too bad. Good. I've told you my whole drama this morning. I was at the NTAs last night and then had 5 builders arrive to my house at 7:30 this morning. And I think I got out of bed at 29 minutes past 7. So I'm a little bit flustered this morning.
That's many ladies' dream, by the way.
Yeah, not so much. I've got a toilet outside my front door at the moment.
Oh, bless you. You've got construction work going on. It's a bit stressful in January, especially in this temperature.
It's really cold to have the front door open all the time. But I can't complain. I'm very, very happy.
You've got a dunny. Like in Australia.
Yeah, I know. Pretty much outside.
Or in Wales, we call it a tea bach, a little house outside.
That sounds nicer.
It's cute. Tea bach. Yeah. Put it a tea bach. You just spat on
me, Laura. I like
that bit
at the end. You're welcome.
Welcome.
Some Laura, people like that.
Laura, Ben, Laura. This is the first time
you've met. Hi, Ben. Yes, it is. It's a pleasure to meet you in the flesh.
Thank you for being here. It's a pleasure to meet you.
Yeah.
I look forward to trying to take you into saying deep things that you're not used to saying.
I know.
That's my plan.
I do have a habit of talking too much, though, sometimes, so...
Oh, no
way. I'm forgetting
where
I am. Especially, I know Matt for years now. Yeah. So, I mean, we've had many conversations.
We have, actually.
Revealing conversations.
Well, yeah, we have revealing conversations. We have gone a little bit deep.
Yeah.
We don't like small talk, necessarily, do we? There's plenty of that in our industry.
Yeah.
And we have discussed many different things. But we have had a conversation recently about a woman's place in the media and the reaction that you guys have, especially. And the lack of respect, I'd say, from media outlets.
I think the last 12 months anyway has been brilliant as a female in the industry. And I've been very lucky, and I've always talked about this. I started working, my first TV job was MTV 10 years ago. And I talk about women in the industry. You know, your first guest on the show is Davina McCall, who's someone I looked up to. And as a female on TV, learning that you could be the lead anchor because... Some, you know, you watch a lot of TV shows, they have the girl as the bit on the side. And I think I grew up with these strong females on television, like the Kat Deelys and the Holly Willoughbys and the Fern Cottons and Ida Bowmans and stuff, where I, you know, there was a few jobs, and you know, that would come up where it'd be like, oh, we'd have the girl, that would be. And I was like, no, I will not be the girl, the token girl. But I think the last 12 months has been really exciting for females in the industry and stuff that we'd put up with that. Like, I put up with a lot of things because I thought that's just the way it was. And I don't want to jump straight into it, but just, for example, like the upskirting thing. Like, for years, I just got out of a car with my knees together and kind of crawled on the ground. And I remember once a mutual friend of ours, Azeem, was like, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, just in case anyone tries to take a picture of my skirt. But that was something I just thought was acceptable. I just thought that was the way it was, rather than go, hold on a second. Why is that allowed? Like, imagine if some man went up the street and did that, which it turns out does happen, actually, to happen to a lot of girls. And only now in the last, you know, this year, it's become illegal. But I thought that was what the industry was.
There was an acceptance.
Because I didn't know any other way.
So is it almost a sense of being objectified? You know, when people are trying to get these images of you, it's...
Yeah, and it's a weird one as well. And I don't know, maybe you guys get it. I only know it from a female point of view, but I remember writing an article last year for Huffington Post, kind of just about how women are portrayed in the media. And then I had such, you know, an overwhelming amount of support on Twitter. But I remember, you only remember the bad ones. And I remember one woman who you know, very good job, kind of in the public eye, more in sports, but, you know, and it was a strong female who tweeted to me saying, oh yeah, but you posed for FHM, so you can't really complain about a guy taking a picture of your skirt getting out of a car outside your house.
Really?
And I remember being really hurt about that, being like, oh, so because I have chosen to, you know, go to a studio and do a shoot 10 years ago when I was working for MTV, you know, it's like you guys, you know, I can see lovely pictures of you naked there. Yes. Does that mean that someone can come into your house and take a picture of you in the shower? No, it doesn't.
I was going to say, we're in trouble, Matt. This is the precedent.
Well, but you know what? I mean, I don't know if guys get it the same way. And I remember thinking, you know, the same thing with girls who wear short skirts. And we've seen things in the press where, you know, with cases, rape cases, where they're like, well, she was wearing a thong and she was... And, you know, we really have to kind of redefine how we view women and how we speak about them and what is asking for it and what is not, because I don't think anyone's ever asking for it.
Do you feel that, because there's a lot of conversation about masculinity and we've got the Gillette advert and everything, do you feel that this is almost getting passed by a little bit, and are you positioning yourself that this is something you're really passionate about, that actually...
Yeah, I suppose you can only talk about what you know. So I, you know, I'll talk a lot about female issues, but I don't really know, except from, like, you know, my friends and my boyfriend. I think, like, guys go through really tough times as well. And I think sometimes I'm so much in my little bubble of what I have to face. And that's all I know. So all I can talk about is what I know and what affects me and what I see is affecting people around me. But I don't know. I just think the last 12 months, I don't know what it's for you guys, but there's such a shift and there's such a change of consciousness of what's okay and what's not okay. And that's not putting blame on other people. That's myself. I'm like, why was I putting up with that?
Mm.
Because I didn't really know I had an option, I guess.
Well, it's down to people like you talking openly about it.
Yeah, and what really got me was there's a brilliant girl, Gina Martin, and she's the one who actually, you know, went to court and really pushed for the bill to go through. And she wasn't in the media. She was a girl at a festival who, I think these guys came over and hit on her and she wasn't really interested. And then I think one of them took a picture when she was like up her skirt or something, and then were passing it around on a WhatsApp group. And she kind of went to, I think, the security or police at that festival and complained. But there's actually nothing legally that you can do. It's not illegal to take that picture and pass it around. So it was actually her who pushed it through. And I was kind of thinking about girls in the industry because that's what I've seen. And, you know, you see the contrast between talking about the Me Too movement, but then a lot of tabloids. I remember a picture of me getting out of the car holding my dog and a bag, and my skirt must have got caught as I was turning the bag around and they printed that picture. I was mortified. Like, it's so embarrassing. And I remember thinking, but I didn't want to tweet about it or give out about it because then people would see the picture and I was drawing more attention to it. But at some stage, you have to draw attention to the problem, even if it's embarrassing, just to stop it.
I remember we were in the paper and I put you into a cannon at V Festival.
Those are the days.
That was fun. That was fun. I don't know what the story was.
Yeah, but that was like mutual consent. I agreed to be put in the cannon.
Exactly.
You agreed to put me in the cannon.
I did ask you and I made you sign a form, if you remember.
Difference. Yeah.
But
I wasn't a working cannon. I just feel like I should point out.
It wasn't a real cannon.
I didn't go flying in the air.
It was a faux cannon, everybody. But going back to what you said, I think Ben and I, we were talking about this recently, about how it makes people actually feel in that moment when people disrespect you.
Yeah.
How does it make you feel?
It's because I'm quite a strong person and I have a voice, but then sometimes, I don't know, if you get knocked or if something like that, I remember something like that happens, a picture that's printed and you're mortified and you don't really talk about it. And there's a few things that have happened, you know, how girls are talked about. Like, God, I was talking to someone about this last night. You know, you work at something, you do a TV show, and as a female, I felt a lot of us talking about what you're wearing or who you possibly could be dating or talking to. If you're a guy, you know, you're this hero. If you're a girl, you're a slut. You know, and that was, I saw for me, the difference of how men and women were portrayed in the media. If it was a guy with loads of different girlfriends, if it's a girl who's, you know, in any way talking to a man, so, you know, it's just differently portrayed.
I hear you. I was portrayed as a Lothario the once. Yeah, I remember you making fun of me.
But Lothario, you're kind of a hey Lothario.
Oh, bullfighter. I'm up there. Oh, you're up there. Three girls at the same time.
Yeah, it's like, absolute go you. Rubbish. If it was a female, she's a slut.
Unfortunately so.
It's massive, isn't it? I talked about this actually once with the Gillette advert in this whole aspect of masculinity. But the reason I see huge positives in it is because as a boy growing up, I aspired to be that guy who got all the girls, to be the big strong guy, to be the tough one. That was what I was idolizing, you know. And what the Gillette advert is doing is, for me, trying to encourage men to be kind. To be good people, to be good for humanity. And I think no one sounds stupid, but I didn't ever think in my head growing up as a man to be kind, to be nice to people. It was about being tough, strong and getting the girls.
Yeah.
And that is, I think, really important. And actually, I don't know what it was like being as a girl when you were growing up. What was your, did you have a perception? Because you talked about how...
Do you know what's interesting as well? Because looking to the other side, I've got two younger brothers. And a way I feel I probably had it easier than them, because I remember, and I'd have it out with my father, who's an incredible man, but he'd say things like, if my brother was upset, you know, strong men don't cry and stuff. Well, I'd probably be allowed to be more sensitive. And so I probably had it easier in that regard. And I think a lot of things to do with how you raise your children, because a lot of boys probably didn't, a lot of guys, like, walking home at night, sometimes I might feel a bit intimidated if there's a group of guys, and they don't mean anything by it, but they might shout at me or they might make a comment, and it's even that old stereotypical view of builders shouting at you, which happens, and then then someone's saying, the day when they don't shout at you, you feel terrible. But, like, you know, you feel a bit silly and embarrassed if someone shouts something at you. But then I think you have to look about, men need to look at, they don't realise that maybe they're making a female uncomfortable. They probably don't realise that because maybe they grew up thinking, this is how I have to behave. So I think we have to kind of go back to the beginning and kind of reteach,
educate,
and relearn. Educate.
Yeah, which I think, my opinion on the Gillette advert is exactly that.
Yeah.
You know, if you were offended by it, and if you thought they were making an example of you, maybe you should reassess a few things. And it's just, words mean things. Actions, take responsibility for the words.
And
that come out
we
your
also, we each have a responsibility for ourselves, and we can't just, like, necessarily, like, blame one product or one particular campaign. There's so many campaigns that are wrong out there, and so many campaigns that are great. But I think as individuals, we all have a responsibility for ourselves.
Yeah.
And we were in a culture where it's very easy to blame,
be outraged
and blame someone else and be shocked and horrified. But we have to kind of come back on ourselves and go, well, what can I do to improve with the people in my life and the men in my life and the females in my life? And, you know, I'm very lucky to even with my brothers and my father, like, my dad comes from, you know, a background where he was raised by my granddad, who was probably a very tough, strong male. He was a builder, and, you know, and my dad had to, you know, do a very specific, he had a very specific role, you know, and he'd bring in the money, and this is what he had to do. And I think it's hard because you have to kind of go back and reteach. As I said, when my dad makes little comments, I'll be like, hold on now.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that? And he doesn't mean anything by it. But that happened
the generation before. Like, you can't say that, Nan. We're not allowed to say that anymore. Oh, okay.
But they don't mean it. But it's not necessarily... don't think when he says things, he doesn't... That's just how his head works. But it's my job nearly. Your parents teach you things, but now I think we need to teach them as well.
Mm. And the education is all there. I think the acceptance that your words mean something and the responsibility that should come with that is really apparent. And I think your role models and people are all around us constantly.
Yeah.
And somebody who's there on a street shouting, oi, oi, sexy, or something to you.
Yeah.
I just think there might be a kid around or something. Be a grown-up about it.
I had one guy say something. I think he thought, like, he was complimenting me, but he, I don't know what he said. Well, he was not prepared from what he got from me because I was not in the mood that day. It's like, what makes you think you can say that to me? And what does that mean when you say that? And he was just like, oh, no.
Oh, sorry.
And he's like, oh, you're one of those feminists. So that's a bad thing. Don't even get me started.
Should have called his bluff. And go, yeah, okay, upstairs
you'll
2 minutes.
Back to your place.
Just have a quickie, come on.
He wouldn't be able to cope.
Good God, no, absolutely. When faced with it, it's like any troll online, you know, if you actually say,
oh, I know.
Hang on, okay, as the car park, 5 minutes, this, see you there. Oh, no, I'm just trying to get a rise out of you.
Yeah.
I think words...
And sometimes I would think, I don't know how you guys deal with Twitter and social and things like that. And I had this thing in my head where I didn't reply to anything. If there's anything negative, I was like, I don't want to kind of go down to that level. And I remember, I don't know if you know Roisin Conaty, brilliant comedian. And she says, oh, I just tell them to fuck off. And I thought, brilliant. Like, I haven't tried that before. I might give that a go. My mum doesn't like that. But sometimes it has to be done.
It depends what they say. And what is... actually, I really want to talk about idolising people and role models and stuff, because you had wonderful people, Davina McCall, Edith Bowman, all the gang, Kat Deely, amazing presenter. These guys were all... And the age of feminism was dawning when we were both growing up in that 80s, 90s period. How much of a responsibility do you feel that's on your shoulders now to be a role model for others being in your position?
God, it's... I think I grew up in a single parent with just my mom. So my dad's in my life. I grew up with just my mom. My mom worked every day. She's very independent. And I remember when I first got the MTV job, and, you know, you get like a little bit of a following and people not listen a lot to what you say. But, you know, you get a platform that you do an interview or you do a podcast like this. And my mom, kind of a bit like Superman, you know, comes great responsibility. But she just said, you've got a voice, so think about what you say, everything that you say. So that's always... you know, stood to me, and I always think back on what she said. So I think, I think there is a responsibility.
But you're an ambassador now for UNICEF.
For UNICEF, yeah. And but that's something that's very authentic to me and something that I care about, probably, you know, young girls especially, and I've been sponsoring a little girl for about 7 years now. But that's, I don't know, I just feel I've been very, very blessed and lucky with opportunities that not everyone else gets. And, you know, you can work as hard as you want and you can be as good as you are, but you need luck and you need opportunity. And I'll never forget, I think it was about 3 years ago, 2016, I was in Nepal with UNICEF and I met this girl, and I'm a bit of a positive, like, everybody achieve your goals and you can do what you want to do. And I was in the school, I was talking to these girls, really smart girls, and we're in a place which, you know, had been affected by this earthquake. There was no running water, but the whole point was trying to get girls back to school, because a lot of girls, once they leave school, they're helping at home, they don't get to go back. And I remember talking to this girl and I was like, what do you want to do when you're older? And she's like, well, I'd love to be a doctor, but that's not going to happen. And I'm it's like, no, you can do whatever you want to do. And she looked at me and she was like, well, that's easy for you to say, but we don't have money. I've got like sisters I need to look after. And she was so honest, and it was horrible. But in my head, I was like, well, you're right.
Yeah.
You're not going to get to go to that university because you have to do all this other stuff. And I think I've been very lucky that I've had this mother who's like, you can do whatever you want to do. But I've also had the opportunity to do that. And that's why, and that for me was a real learning curve, because I've kind of been in the bubble of, yeah, you can achieve your goals, but there's also that realism that people have to face every day. And I think looking at that, and I don't doubt that girl will go on to do good things, because she was so smart and so on it, but she has to work a lot harder than the rest of us here.
It's something that we're quite aware of, aren't we? Because it's very easy for us, Matt and I, you know, having these conversations every time and preaching these messages.
And you have an outlet
health
to talk about it. Yeah.
We're very lucky, you know, and there's a lot of people, like you say, in the same situation as the girl, who it's not quite so easy. And I guess our response to it is that what we can do, there are some things that we can control, you know, and there are lots of things you can't control. And they are, unfortunately, some people have more opportunity than others, and that's the way it is. But there are other things that you can control internally. And I think what we'll always ask of everyone is to try and do their best with the things that they can control. And
definitely.
I think that's where we can take a little bit more control of our life. You know, that our attitude is something purely that we have within ourselves that is purely our control. Things like kindness, you know, being kind to people can build great connections and relationships. You talk all about kindness. These things are things that we can give to people without any cost. We don't need anyone else. And there's a lot more. And I think Matt and I are going to go into more details on this on other conversations when we have a guest. But this is something that's really important because it is tough when you see people and they don't have the same opportunity as you and you're standing there passing a message on. But let's try and...
It's about understanding. And I think everybody has their own journey. Everybody's better off. There's always somebody worse off than you, etc.
It's telling someone's story as well. They're telling their story because that maybe will get other people involved and maybe that particular school will get more funding. And I don't know, but it's...
Yeah.
I just think communication, what you guys are doing now, is just so more powerful
education,
than anything else.
Education, discussion, the normalising of any stigma, getting rid of any stigma attached to any situation. It's a long process. And I think the awareness, like what you've realised and what we've realised over the last few weeks is that everybody has a different process. Everybody's in different stages of their mental health, etc. And their social
even
situation.
Even in a day, like mental health changes so much in a day. Like my mood can change so much over. And you said simple things, kindness. Like I could wake up in a really bad mood or, you know, and then it could take something really small and suddenly I feel happy again. And it could be just the postman being nice, I don't know, or catching him before I went to work.
Mine, weirdly, is if I get, I love coffee, go for a coffee in the morning. If I ask them how they are, and then we say, oh yeah, have a great day, have a great day. And then you think, we've had a little bit of interaction.
Yeah.
We've tried. And now I've gone off with my coffee and I feel good about that. It's the small things
for me. Do you know what's the most important thing? Eye contact. People don't make eye contact with each other. A lot of people, you know, when you're in a shop buying something, your head's down. And it makes such a difference. And to actually look at someone and say thank you. Because some people go, thank you, throw it away, eyes down.
On your phone.
On your phone. Off. Yeah. And just that. I don't know, connection with a human being, another human being, even if it's for a second, eye contact. And I remember like moving from Ireland 10 years ago to London. And like at home, when you get the bus, you say, thank you, bus driver. Like that's what you do.
Yeah, yeah. Cheers, drive.
Yeah, cheers, driver. Like that's what you'd always do.
It's very Welsh. Cheers, mate.
I remember like getting the bus and then say, oh, thanks, bus driver. And he looked at me like I was going to mug him. He didn't trust me.
I still do it now to this day. You know, but when we walk on to the bus, it's as if there isn't even a driver. People just walk on. Yeah. You don't even acknowledge. You know, I always try and specifically for my own personal standards, because I want to feel good about the person I am. I'll thank him, whether he's listening to
or not.
And
make you feel better as well.
This is what I mean. I do it. We talk about this a lot, Matt. It's almost selfish behavior. I'm trying to impress myself.
Yeah.
You know, because I want to feel good about the person I am. And kindness, being nice to people, all these things make you feel good about who you are.
And sometimes there are people out there who are really kind and think they're kind, but they're not doing these little things. And this doesn't mean that they're unkind, but you know, I know people out there who are lovely but just don't think. And it's just that not thinking for and then not making the eye contact, or you know, being a little bit rude to an Uber driver, or and only simple little things, because you're and sometimes people are stressed about something else, or they're thinking about, oh, I'm late for this meeting, but you kind of forget where you are in the now. And I think it's so important to just be in the now. It
being
takes
present,
a second.
That's exactly my realization, that being present and in that moment is me saying, how are you today? I'll have a black coffee, please. Thank you. What? Any plans after work? Oh, nothing really. And then sometimes they give it for free. That's a little tip for you all. Just have that little interaction.
Maybe for you, Matt Johnson.
For me, that little interaction can go a long way. For me, definitely. Yeah. Whether it's for them, I'm not sure. But it's just the small things. Sprinkle that stuff everywhere.
Yeah.
And it's free.
Doing it with meaning as well. You know, actually listening. When people go, oh, how are you doing? And just looking away. And you're not actually asking them how they, you know, really meaning. When you thank someone, thank you so much, I really appreciate it, actually mean, rather than just chucking it out there, because
it's just words otherwise.
Exactly, it's doing things with purpose and meaning, I think. If you're being kind because you want to be kind, because you think it'll make you feel good, it won't work. You're being kind because you genuinely feel it and mean it, it does make you feel good naturally.
You said something quite interesting a moment ago, that you sprinkle that love and you try and educate people when you go away. It was Nepal, and you say, come on, you could be anything you want to be. And that attitude, I've seen with you, you've been very spiritual for a while. And your jewellery collection kind of epitomises that. You can see the chakras.
But I like, and I like quotes. Oh, God, I love a quote.
You love, love a quote.
Oh, I love a quote. But I love a song lyric.
You know, where does that come from? Are these, sometimes these quotes, are they for you or for everybody?
My mom is quite into mantras and stuff like that. My mom is quite spiritual, so I kind of grew up in that environment. And actually, maybe growing up in and I did like a little radio doc about this, about, you know, religion and the importance of religion. I grew up in Catholic Ireland. I think it doesn't matter what religion you are, but having something in your life somehow to connect with. And for me, that could be everything from, I don't know, Bikram yoga or having a bit of meditation, or it could be going to mass on Christmas Day because it's a community feel. I need something in my life that
going
connects
to the football.
It. Going to the football with a group of people, going to a gig.
Belonging,
being part of a crowd. And, you know, I remember going to see Rolling Stones last summer, and it's like being in that crowd.
That's a religious experience.
All facing that one direction and all singing the same song lyrics. There's something religious in that.
Yeah.
And that's why I really like song lyrics and quotes. And I think the power of music is incredible because you, again, there's that really funny scene in Father Ted with Tommy Tiernan where he's really happy and they're playing happy music and then he gets on a bus and they're playing Radiohead and he gets depressed again. But the power of a song,
yeah,
you know, that brings back a memory. I think it's really important to have these sprinkled in your life as well. And that's why I think it's really important to have that community feel. If you're not religious, go to a gig, go to a football match, find it somehow else.
Find your tribe.
Yeah, find your tribe, exactly.
Yeah. I think especially in cities, I found that it's just an amalgamation of people that have come from Ireland, Wales, or outside of London, all struggling, and you have your urban family.
Yeah, you
find
your little
guys,
family, yeah.
Yeah, and that you can trust, and you need these pockets of communities everywhere you go. And Ben, you take lots of classes and breathing classes, and it's beyond what you do in there sometimes. It's the community spirit you have there, isn't it?
It is. And the big part for me, when I do those things, because I'm passionate about them, I love them, it's the people that you meet that tend to be in the same space.
Yeah.
So it's when you really are authentic and you do things perhaps that the average person doesn't do, but it's your thing, you really like it. Actually, then you meet people who are really special in that space. And
like-minded. And
like, completely.
I remember when I finished secondary school and I was going to do my degree, but it was a different part. It was like, I kind of live in Wicklow, which is south of Dublin, and it was North Dublin, so I ended up living on res, and it was like, you know, 4-year degree, and I moved away from home, and I remember being so lonely because I didn't know anyone else in the university. The one or two people I knew weren't living in that area, so like, I'd go and do my classes and then I'd come home to this tiny little bed, like it was literally like a bed sit, and you'd share like a kitchen with someone else. I remember being so lonely and going, oh my god, is this the next 4 years? And then I went to Clubs and Socks Day and I joined the Drama Society and I joined the Debating Society and every society that I could join, but Drama is the one I locked into, and I just found my tribe. I found people who liked the same things as me and I was okay. But I was really worried for the first few weeks. So I was like, oh God, this is what my life is going to be. But you just have to, as you said, find your tribe.
This happens not just in cities, in the suburbs as well. There's a lack of jobs for lots of people in working class areas.
Yeah.
And then when you have no purpose and no tribe then from your job, etc., there are issues with people having a lack of belonging and purpose, etc.
Purpose
is so important.
Yeah.
And I used to go to a boxing club, and that was my kind of, in my 20s, living in the city, went there, such a wonderful diverse group of people, and it was our club and it meant a lot to us. And that's deteriorating in areas around the UK. And these places, rugby clubs, boxing clubs, for me, I'm going to talk about the sports, but, you know, drama
but
societies
sports is the same as,
the
wayside. The same thing.
And I think, as well as there's plenty of opportunity to do that in the cities, we must be mindful that there's people out there that desperately need to feel that they're a part of something.
And also, I've noticed this recently as well, mainly my friends who are dating, this ghosting thing or not replying to messages. And I've had a few friends who, it really affects, if someone texts you, just text them back. Do you know, within reason, unless they're a stalker and then you can block them. But no, but do you know, like we're all so busy, or I didn't get to text that person back, or I didn't. And sometimes people can be reaching out to you and you don't realise it. And it could just be like, hey, how are you? We must get coffee. We live in an industry where everyone says we must get coffee and nobody ever gets coffee. Like, we've probably done it as well, Matt. But do you know, we have this talk, but try and make time for people and just... Yeah, I was talking.
If you're going to say it, mean it.
It goes back to saying
thank you very much and meaning it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's just words.
It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
But I don't know, like, especially in places like London, and, you know, I've got a lot of girlfriends on the dating scene, and I remember, like, some of them, I just didn't bother replying to him. I'm like, just say if you're not interested. I don't know. There's this ghosting thing. We have this culture where we just ignore people.
It's the throwaway culture. And it starts with clothes, you know. You buy it for like 2 weeks. Yeah, buy clothes, throw it away. And it transcends then into dating.
I mean,
it goes back to personal standards for me. Because again, it's easier not to reply, isn't it? The easy thing, oh, don't you
and people
with
expect it now, so it's fine.
Yeah, exactly. But your personal standards, be kind, be honest. You know, just say. Do you know what?
Just say, it's not going to happen. Yeah, it's going to happen. If you want to lie, say you've met someone else. I don't know. You've gone back with your ex. But just this ghosting thing, like as though someone's not important enough to respond to.
Yeah.
It's a culture issue and a manners issue, maybe.
It's become the norm. It's become acceptable, isn't it, that we can just go through that behaviour.
People are, you can just dispose them.
Yeah.
It's such a relief, though, when you'd stop doing the dating thing on dating apps and stuff like that. I found it more anxious than anything. I know, Ben, you just joined an app and doing the things.
Are we really talking about this?
Hey, you've got to be open and honest. You've got to shed that mask.
You've got me now.
I got you in.
That's a fun stage as well.
It is fun. I got to say, I'll be open and honest about my experience with it. It served a purpose. It gave me the confidence to actually go and speak to real life people that existed in front of me.
Yeah.
Mm. And it, you know, it does.
And it's hard to meet people in the city in London. We're surrounded by so many people all the time, and yet you probably find it easier to meet someone in a small town.
Well, yeah, because you only hang around with like 8 people. Yeah. That's all you do.
And they can't get away from you and you can see them all the time.
Yeah. Weirdly, in the industry is the same. But it's a fun and a weird experience all the same, isn't it?
It's my dating life has changed a lot in recent years. Yeah. Back in the day, I had to be chasing something. I needed to be feeling like there was a girl that I was interested in, and I craved it. Maybe it's an attention thing or something.
I think we all do. There's always that one person who's on your mind more than anyone else.
I needed that though. Yeah. And without it, I felt a bit lost. And actually, in the last year, or probably last few years, it slowly changed. And I think I've gone a lot more just sort myself out, become the best person if I am, and that right person's going to come.
Yeah.
And don't worry about the rest of it, kind of, and actually that's really liberating. It's really nice.
You have to go through the other stuff to get to that. Yeah. You can't get that from the start, sadly.
Yeah.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I used to put too much value in relationships. When they would end, it would be like, oh no, I gave so much to that and I needed that so much.
Yeah.
Somebody said something wonderful to me the other day, that a lot of people are walking around as halves trying to meet another person to make a one.
Yeah.
What you should be is a one and a one to make a two.
Yeah.
Which really resonated with me, because I think there's so many people trying to, that person can fill the void that I'm missing, I'm lacking in my life.
Yeah, you shouldn't be filling a gap.
You should be completely full people. Yeah. This is why maybe meeting people when you're older is great. Yeah. I've experienced that. You've found your stuff, you know what you want, know who you are, potentially, to 100%. And then if you find somebody that fits and you can grow together, that's possibly the best case scenario, right?
I always say teammate. You need to find the person who's on your team, because the world is so scary and is stressed, and there's always, you know, you're hustling, there's always a million things going on. So you kind of want to, when you go home, you have that person who's got you, who's got your back, and you've got their back throughout everything. And even when you are you know, in a bad mood or a ranty, like they have to love you no matter what. But it's that teammate. It's not someone who, you know, is filling a gap. It's just that person that works on your team.
Because if they go, it's you're still you're, a half yeah. again.
You and just find a new teammate if they go.
Will Smith did that incredible video, didn't he? Did you guys see it? We talked about him and his wife. If this is touching anyone, then watch the Will Smith video.
They've been together a long time.
And in many eyes, the dream couple, right? And he talked on his stories on Instagram about how he said to his wife, I hope I'm not going to get this wrong, and he doesn't listen to it. Or if he does listen to it, that's good at least.
Hi, Will.
he talked about how him and his wife had a conversation about they become a bit too dependent on each other.
Yeah.
And that he needs to go and do him and sort himself out. And she needs to go and do her and sort herself out. And rather than relying on each other for happiness, he needs to go and make himself happy. She needs to make herself happy. And they come back together and they're ultra happy together. But no one's relying on anyone else.
Yeah.
Be happy on your own terms.
Yeah.
And let someone compliment it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It was beautiful.
That's amazing. I'll look that up later.
Yeah,
it's worth watching. Definitely. I felt for a long time. For me, I probably looked for other people to make me happy. For sure.
Oh God, it goes into everything. You look for anything to make you happy. Yeah. A job, a situation financially, maybe some clothes,
a bar of chocolate, cup of tea.
You're looking for something constantly to make you happy. And you talk about this wonderfully, Ben. You know, happiness doesn't exist.
Happiness does
exist. It's all doom and gloom.
This is really interesting.
Happiness, of course, absolutely exists. But I think there's two sides to happiness. There's internal, where we feel it for no reason. Mm. You know, you're just content with who you are. You're proud of the person you are. You're proud of what you're giving to the world and what you're representing. And then there's external happiness that, you know, you have something that makes me happy. Bring that into my life and I get a little buzz. I get, you know, I'm high.
Yeah.
But I think without the internal happiness, if we keep chasing things, then we keep going down to a low after, because we don't feel it internally. So then we keep chasing something else. Give me something else to make me happy. Give me something else. And we end up on this sort of cycle of constantly chasing happiness, because that's what society says we have to be.
Yeah.
So I term it fulfillment.
Yeah. Mm.
You know, fulfillment's kind of that internal sense. You know,
content.
Natural content. So you're happy for no reason.
Yeah.
You don't need anything. You just got that sense inside of you. And I think that's something that we've lost, actually, in society a lot. We're constantly buying, give me this to make me happy, rather than going inside. What do I need to do? What behaviour do I need to show the world to make myself proud?
Yeah.
So that I can be happy for no reason without
anything. You don't need all the material stuff. It's feeling that comfort, isn't it?
Yes.
In a way.
And
also, we're never going to be the one state continuous.
No.
Because happiness is something that comes and goes. You wouldn't feel happy if you were constantly happy. You wouldn't know what happy is, would you?
You just move the goalposts.
Yeah,
your level of what you expect.
You have to go through, and it's,
well, you really appreciate the good times when you've had some bad times.
Yeah,
right?
And I think it's okay to feel sad, and I think sometimes we feel guilty or bad to feel sad. I'm like, feel sad, put on Jeff Buckley and just cry, do you know?
Have you watched me? Hallelujah.
Ugly cry.
Ugly cry. 10 years ago, baby.
I love a bit of ugly cry. But I just feel like sometimes if you feel sad, just go with it. And then come out of it the other side. And it's okay to feel sad, I think. And that's why I feel with mental health, what you guys are doing, talking about it, it's so important, because we're told that, you know, words like depression and stuff are like bad words, or you're going through that, it's a big thing, and people are embarrassed to talk about things. Well, actually, it's something that we've all gone through, just different levels, and just different people deal with it in different ways. And it's natural. We're human beings. We're going to feel as human beings. I was going to say beans. Human beings.
We're beans now, are we?
Kidney bean. Whatever bean do you want to be? Liver bean. You know, we're human, so we have to feel sad sometimes. And that's okay. It's like that. It's okay not to be okay.
No, absolutely. That. And that's very true. Yeah. It is very true. Obviously, there's different levels of mental illness, etc., that you can't necessarily, you know, get rid of. But there are levels of, on a human level, that you're going to have stressful times, you know.
Yeah.
Parents and family members leave us, and it's bereavement, and there are sad times. Exams can be stressful, etc. Mm-hmm. But I found for me personally that when I'm in that moment of sadness, or in my case depression, etc., it's understanding that that's part of the process, and letting it happen, let it possibly wash over, and saying, do you know what, I'm having a bad day today, I'm just going to go and do a few things. And I've done it recently with my girlfriend. I've gone, there are four projects I'm working on at the moment, all stressful at the one time. Everything was wonderful a week ago, but then this week it's all gone a bit tits up. And it came to a Saturday. I went, do you know what? I'm going to get up. I'm going to go to the gym. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do some cardio, which I never do. And I'm going to sweat this out. I'm going to drink lots of water. I'm going to walk around. And I'm going to look up and I'm going to take my phone off. I'm going to leave it in the locker or something and walk around outside. And even if it's raining, I'm going to have 2 hours to myself.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to come and meet you and I'm going to talk about this. And it served me the best it possibly could. And everybody has their own process. Yeah. But I'm kind of finding mine. Mm. In that way, and it helped me exponentially, and that comes with time. You know, you have to find your things.
Ben and Jerry's, Bridget Jones under a duvet works for me.
Actually, Jones under the duvet.
Yeah, I'm actually her. me and Renée Zellweger under a duvet. Yeah.
But have you had bad moments?
Yeah, oh god, loads. But then you've got different ways of dealing with it. I love yoga, so. And actually, I've started boxing recently. So it's great for just like getting any anger and actually gives you more energy. Like, and it gets the adrenaline up. But then, you know, I've had days, you know, when you go through like a big breakup, you call your best girlfriend. She comes over with Ben and Jerry's. You get under a duvet and you just stay there for all day.
You write that stuff out.
Have a cup of tea. That was I remember I used to live in a flat during uni in Dublin. And there's about five of us living together. And like someone was going through a breakup. There's always something. It's like, I'll put the kettle on, I'll make tea. I don't know if you even drank the tea, but there was always a cup of tea in the hand.
Yeah.
So now I feel if something goes wrong, I always make tea and hold tea as a comfort. It just brings comfort to me.
You brought us tea today.
Tea bags. Yeah.
You did. Thank you so much.
Irish tea bags as well. Yeah. But for me, that in my head, and you know what it is as well? I remember my aunties do it as well. My mom is like the youngest of 13 children. There's loads of them. And their way of talking about things is, I'll put the kettle on. And it means so much more. Yeah. They might not know what the words to say if someone's going through a bad time. If someone dies, the first thing is, I'll put the kettle on.
Yeah. See, girls are so much better at this than guys. And this is
some guys go to the pub sometimes and have a pint.
And pretend everything's fine and have a laugh about it.
Yeah.
Because that's what you're meant to do.
Yeah.
I had a really nice situation. Started a bit of a mastermind for men. We're a little group and we talk a bit more openly. And we had a message from one of the guys yesterday saying, guys, any tips? I'm having a bit of a shit day today. Mm-hmm. Like I woke up late, didn't miss my alarm, went to the gym, had a rubbish session, just feeling a bit down and everything. Do you guys ever have these days? And I loved getting that message from my friend because it told me he was real. You know, there's no bullshit here. He's not trying to. It's not impressing anyone. For me, that just told me he's a real man. And we had this amazing conversation. We all said, "Hey, we all have these days. It's natural. Sometimes we can't all, like you said, Laura, you can't all be happy every day because all that happens is your expectation of what happiness just rises and rises. So it's natural. We're gonna have good days and bad days. And I think the big thing with it is not putting too much pressure on yourself and going, shit, I'm having a bad day. I feel like this. I hate feeling like this. I can't feel like this. It's awful. Why do I feel like no one else? Yeah. They're having a brilliant day. No one else's feels like this. This is awful. So actually going, do you know what? Today's not such a bad day. I'm going to have one of those days that ice cream, whatever it is, one of those days that I just get through it. And I just, you know, I don't love it. It's all right. But it's the new day tomorrow. And I stay on my mission and I stay on where I want to go and keep being the man or the girl that I want to be. Mm-hmm. And tomorrow's a new day. And it's normal. It's being human.
But what's so great is that you recognise that. And what I find hard is when you see people who don't see that. Because, you know, I've had friends who deal with mental health in different levels. And I've, sadly, in the last few years, lost friends through it. And I just think if they, you know, if you just hold out that next day, because things can get better. Yeah. But it's very hard when you're in the dark to see that. When I feel sad, even, I'm not talking to, like, dark levels, but sometimes you think, I don't know when I'm ever going to feel happy again. And then suddenly, I don't know, my boyfriend will come home with like a Chinese takeaway. I'm like, oh, I'm happy again. It's the simple things. It's all food related.
But it really is.
But, you know, I remember losing a really good colleague of mine. And I remember thinking, God, if someone just walked past him and smiled at him or just did something that day, or if he just, it could be something so small, but he was just in such a dark place. And maybe that's a level that I can't even comprehend. But it's just, no matter what you feel, you're not always going to feel like that. And that's, it's so great when, you know, when I hear you, Ben, talking about, like, you can recognise that. So many people don't recognise that. And also, we all feel like that. You look on Instagram, which isn't real life, and you're like, you know, I look at it going, oh my God, look at them, the bikini body, and they're on holidays, and why am I not doing that job? And you're constantly doing that. And then you realise half of that stuff isn't real anyway. Because I know from what I put up, I'm like, I do not look like that now. That's me with hair and makeup on. I do not look like that now. But we have so much more, I don't know, is it worse now? We're more open about things, but we've got a whole other level of pressures.
It's a big comparison, isn't it?
I don't know. Like
Everyone's seeing so much of each other that we're all comparing. Everyone's putting out their highlights. It's hard.
But then people are doing things like they're putting up, you know, there's more real pictures up there and, you know, people aren't photoshopping and it's more real things. But then sometimes I look at that and be like, am I putting enough positive image stuff up there? Am I? Because sometimes I put a picture of me at an awards thing dressed up going, oh no, I feel like maybe that's not real. Maybe I should put up something else up there because... And then yeah. I've got this internal kind of conflict going on in my head that is that right? Am I being responsible if I'm in the public eye to just put up the nice pictures? Should I put up more bad pictures? I don't know. But I don't want to put loads of bad pictures up either because I'm a girl.
I always see it as if you remember those old coffee table books of pictures?
Yeah.
And your parents used to like handpick good ones.
Yeah.
You'd never put bad ones in, would you?
No.
When you put pictures up on the wall in the house, you're not going to put a terrible, out of focus, rubbish one of you looking miserable in the morning. You're going to put your highlights up.
Yeah.
And it's just understanding that's the case with Instagram.
Yeah.
You know, there's a responsibility on your shoulders and everybody's shoulders to give a true representation of themselves, i.e., like Photoshop and all the things.
Yeah.
But you know, if people are aware that it is kind of a reality in a snapshot. It's a picture diary. You can put the highlights.
Did you see? Have you seen that documentary Fire on Netflix?
Not yet.
Really want to see it.
I don't want to like ruin it. Although you know what happens.
Spoiler alert.
It doesn't end well. That's the reason why the hashtag ad came up, because basically they paid all these gorgeous models to go out to this island, film the video and put that out there, and that actually isn't what the festival turned out to be.
Yes.
And then there was this question going, was it the responsibility of those models, because they were obviously paid for this 10 minute video or whatever that or shoot that went out, but was it their responsibility because the festival was nothing like that video, but they were just filming this ideology.
Yeah.
And I just found that really interesting, because maybe people watching that should be like, okay, this is not real life. You're not going to go to an island where just these models are around you.
No.
But they were saying, you know, there was a lawsuit going, should we sue these models? And now that's why the hashtag ad, hashtag spawn came in. But I do think we do have that responsibility ourselves to look and be like, you can't take everything for what it is.
No, absolutely.
It's like Gillette, you know, it's like.
Is it the best a man can get? We're not sure.
I just think of Lynx Africa. I remember like as a 16-year-old, that smell, every single boy smelled like Lynx Africa.
I was more of a Lynx Java man.
Oh, really? Yeah. Did all the women just come running towards you?
Too much. I still have, there's hordes outside now. And I still have loads of Lynx left from when I was like a 9-year-old, because that's all you got from your aunties. Just like Lynx,
body spray. I'm going to say his name. His name is Jason. And he lives in New York and he's Irish, but he gets his wife every time she comes back here for work to buy all the Lynx Africa because it's his favourite smell.
Oh, you kidding?
He's like in his 40s. He loves it.
It's not even antiperspirant. It's not,
no, it's like a body spray. I don't know what it does.
Anyway, we are not endorsing
no,
any
we're not.
Other body sprays that are available.
I think there's something I really wanted to say on that last thing.
We've
really
thrown you off with witty banter, haven't we?
Sorry. What? I just thought that was so funny that he gets it brought over.
But the responsibility of, you know, advertising, etc., which go back to the Gillette thing, it's a responsibility. And I think advertising, instead of people saying, just buy this is wonderful, you need it, you know, like fitness instructors saying, do you look like this? Mm-hmm. No, you shouldn't look like that. I can help you look like this. It's, you know, there's a responsibility with everybody selling anything.
I totally agree.
And I think the Gillette thing stirred up a lot of emotion with a lot of men, especially, was like, sell me razors, man.
Yeah.
I want to see the glossy stuff. And I think it's important to have an element of aspiration on social media. And like, don't feel afraid to put up a picture of you at the NTAs looking great, because we all know that
I put up a picture, but I was waiting for the train, so I was keeping it a bit real.
You do that very well. You do it very well. Subliminal realness. But you know, people know out there that if I post a picture of me from a red carpet, I don't necessarily want to. It's whoever's given me the suit that's
for it. Yeah, I want this suit for free.
Yeah, exactly. No, just lent it to me. We never get to keep these things, do we? You know, that's a reality. That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
You know, don't take it too seriously. And you know what? Going back to what you said, if somebody says something, Don't say to fuck off. Just block them.
Just block them.
Just block them, man.
Yeah, although I do like Roisin. Look at her Twitter. It's great.
Is it great?
And it depends on who.
For me, I can get into circles of, I can get wound up and I can get into arguments with people, especially in the dawning age of politics and polarity of that. You know, you look through underneath Sky News, 8 people died on a boat fleeing Syria, and you've got people underneath going, good. Oh, I don't I know just, what's wrong with the world when you say that. That's when the world's gone mad.
I don't think they're
real. And I have to just block. I have to, even if I don't even engage with them, I don't want to see that stuff.
No. Yeah.
It's not their political opinion. They're just bad people.
Yeah.
Well, just block it.
That's fair, isn't it? This is your what we consume is our diet. You know, reading these comments, if we don't need to see.
You get to choose. You get to choose what you see. You get to choose who you follow. Yeah. What I suppose when you go on Twitter, what media outlets you follow, what newspaper you pick up and read. You get to choose that. So it is hard though, because we are human, so you will look at like comments and what people will say.
Totally. 100%. And it can be quite an obsessive thing. But the understanding that it's not real, and these people might not necessarily mean it.
Yeah.
You know, if it hurts, block it.
But there's nothing wrong with also respond, a smart response. Think about it. I always never respond the minute you see it. Think about it for a day or two. Sleep on it. That's an argument for life for everything. If you can, try and
have a cup of tea and sleep.
Put the kettle on.
Put the kettle on, Beth.
And then that's all you got to do. You don't even have to have the tea. Just put the kettle on.
So on that point, it's when you're seeing these comments on Twitter, this affects our own mindset. You know, I see diet a whole lot more than just what you eat. You know, that's the fuel that we put inside of us.
Yeah.
But everything we read, everything we listen, everything we listen to, every conversation we have, the papers, the news, everything that we're consuming.
Yeah.
Whether our eyes, with our senses, this is for me all part of our diet.
Yeah.
And food obviously has one aspect of results on who we are, but the news, everything that we're consuming will have an effect on our food will go internally, but the stuff that we read will affect our thoughts and how we project to the world. So when we're reading, if we're constantly consuming this anger of people saying fuck off and whatever, all this horrible conversation, it will go into our head and we will consume that, and it probably won't come out in a very positive way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we're consuming lots of kindness and compassion and empathy, then we'll start to project that out. And I think our diet needs to be looked at a lot more than just what we put inside the food. It's everything that we consume.
Oh, by the way, there was a little growl then. That wasn't Laura. Yeah. That's Mick, Laura's dog.
I bought my dog.
We'll put it up.
Does Mick disagree?
I
think Mick just feels he hasn't contributed a lot to this conversation yet, and he didn't get a cup of tea, so not very happy.
Mick has contributed very well to our mental health in having him sit on our lap.
I will say that about pets and stuff as well. I think even having, I've had Mick for 4 years now, and I do bring with him, I bring him on a lot of shoots. And I do think if you're a dog person, I highly recommend it. They bring lots of love to your life.
Really, what does the dog bring for you?
He can never leave me. I don't know, maybe a calmness, even though he's quite hyperactive, and just love. And then also I think responsibility too. I remember when I first moved to London and, you know, working with MTV, and it's, you know, you're constantly out and there's a million things going on and there's gigs, and it just kind of, I have this other living thing that I need to look after and take care of, and then I get so much love in return. Lots of unconditional love.
The loyalty is special, isn't it?
Incredible,
I know it's a cliche, but you walk in the door and you've done whatever through the day, the dog comes in and doesn't care one bit what it is, it just likes you,
just wants attention. But and very calming as well. So, and I always love the, like when I brought him to you guys today, this is the response. The minute he comes into the room, it's like,
oh, well, I'm getting used to that, because Alan, my dog, is
I love
loved.
That he's called Alan.
He's loved more than me.
Yeah.
Like, I walked into work and they're like, woo, fuss. Yeah. I'm like, what about me?
I know. Or if you don't bring the dog, and they're like, where's the dog?
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, we wish you were bringing Alan today. And I was like, no, it's me. Are you happy to see me?
Are you going to change your Instagram from Matt Johnson, just Alan the dog?
Matt Alan. Other brands are available. My middle name is actually Alan.
Yeah.
So it kind of works.
It fits. Nice. Doesn't it?
It's meant to be.
It is meant to be.
But we always ask a question at the end of every podcast. But in your case, because there's not one specific moment, which is lovely, because you know, we've had people on who can go back to their younger self when they were in the darkest phase of depression or anxiety or addiction, etc. But it's been wonderful to have a lovely discussion about mental health with you and seeing and hearing your opinions on it, and hopefully opening up a conversation. So instead of going back to one specific moment in your life, advice as an ambassador for UNICEF, if you could give anybody some advice who's woken up today, who's listening to this podcast right now, that's feeling down, depressed, or having a bad day with their mental health, what would you give as a little bit of advice, apart from just getting the kettle on?
It gets better. Time. And that's something that's been said to me through, like, big things have happened in my life where I've been down or upset, and through breakups, through... And you just think, people say, oh, it'll get better over time. And you're like, screw that. But it does. It gets better. And there's something really comforting, the fact that we all go through shit.
Yeah.
And reach out. Because I remember once going through this massive breakup, and I was doing live television at the time, and I was like, oh my God, why has this happened to me? And you kind of think you're the only person who's ever gone through a breakup. And like, but not like this breakup. This is like a different type of breakup than anyone else has gone through. And I have to, you know, put on my makeup and get on TV and pretend everything's okay. And I remember feeling so low because I was trying to pretend I was okay, and I had to have this front. And I actually, now I look back going, I didn't have to pretend, but at the time I felt like the only way I could get through was pretending I was okay. And it was only like months afterwards going, I was not okay during that time at all. And everyone would say, oh no, it'll get better over time. And I just was like, yeah, it does. And then talking to other people and being like, oh, you went through that as well. And we're all the same, and we may react in different ways, and we're all unique in our own way, but I'm going to break it down, you know, take all our clothes off. We may look different bodies and different shapes, but we are all the same. And I found great comfort. So no matter what you're going through right now, someone else has felt that way too, and they've got through it, so you can as well. And don't ever be ashamed, because I remember being really embarrassed by how sad I felt, because I shouldn't have felt sad, because everyone was saying, you know, your career is going great. And I remember, so stupid, I remember my way of dealing with it was getting dressed up and going out. I remember watching actually the end of the Katy Perry documentary. Did you see that part of me? And she was going through her massive breakup and tears, and she was about to go on stage, and she went, just put the makeup on. And she just put the smile on, and she was broken inside. And that's how I got through it. But I didn't really deal with it at the time. Eventually it will catch up with you. But I just felt I had to pretend that I was okay. But after a while, it gets better. And we all go through it.
Time is a healer, isn't it?
Time is a healer. It's great.
And the mask can only work for a certain amount of time.
Yeah. And people deal with things differently. You know, some people go with, like, you know, drugs, drink, which isn't the ideal. Sports. Like, I think find your thing that gets you through. And you know what? Friends for me was a big thing. That friends coming over with ice cream and sitting on the sofa and just listening to you whinge is brilliant. Find some good friends, you know. Reach out.
Find your tribe.
Find your tribe.
That's where we've got back to, isn't it? Yeah. Find your tribe.
Always find your tribe. Laura Whitmore, you are an absolute babe. Thank you so much
so much for having me and my dog.
It's an absolute pleasure. Is there anything you're up to at the moment that you want to plug?
Oh, cool. Well, I'm doing the BAFTAs.
Yeah.
You can find out about what I wear or who I possibly am dating from
cares.
The Daily Mail. And not about any of the work that I do.
But there won't be any upskirts this year.
There will not. And if they do, we can sue.
Laura,
can you believe that was okay? I'm sorry, I'm just going to go back to that. Can you believe...
It's crazy!
...that papers were allowed to print pictures of girls' skirts?
No.
What?
I really
the
can't.
Hell? Anyway.
Not anymore.
Laura Whitmore, I love the work that you're doing with UNICEF and just being a bloody ray of sunshine wherever you go. Thank you so much.
And both of you as well. Congratulations on the podcast. It's incredible.
Thank you for being part of it.
Ooh. Let's go and have a cup of tea.
I'll put the kettle on.
Oh, there we have it. That, my friends, was Laura Whitmore. And Ben, that was something lovely, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, she's such a kind... lovely, warm person, isn't she? She hasn't necessarily gone to the depths, but she just has a really lovely way of just wanting to be nice and be just very honest and open and just a genuinely lovely person.
Yeah, I think she's also very high-spirited. She's feisty. She has lots of opinions. She could talk for hours about her beliefs. And I think, you know, what she said about being a role model and who she had as role models growing up and how we value ourselves and we should all be responsible for the words that come out of our mouth. I think a lot of people could actually resonate well with her. And maybe you see Laura Whitmore on the TV and you see her in magazines and I hope there's a different side to her now that people have seen, which is this lovely, warm and considerate and kind and compassionate person.
Definitely, yeah. It's not an act, is it? That's her real way. But I love the way as well she said to us about how, you know, she has down days.
Yeah.
You know, it's natural to feel sadness. You know, it's not all about happiness all day, every day. You know, and I think we can get caught up thinking these people live the dream lives every day.
Mm.
And it's not. They have their own challenges, although it's not. She doesn't go through depression or any of these, you know, very challenging things. And she's been very lucky in that respect. She still has tough days.
Yeah.
Just like everyone else. And that's okay. It's normal. As she said, it's a human being.
Yeah. And it's okay not to be okay, which is where we come back to a lot, isn't it?
It is.
And we all go through it. We all find our processes. And I hope you got something from that, listener. And I hope you find your process. Trust the process. And I hope that you'll be checking us out on our Instagram, which is at The Naked Professors, and on Twitter, the TMP Podcast. And as well, Ben, what do they do on the podcast thing? They
subscribe.
Yeah.
They like.
Subscribe.
And they comment.
They rate. Yeah.
They're doing all sorts.
They do so many things, right? There's rate, subscribe, and comment.
And we, do you know what? Actually, we can say this. We've had some great, some really lovely comments and some lovely ratings. We did have one bad rating.
We did have one bad rating on it, and you need to know this, everybody out there. Who was this bad rating from, Ben?
I mean, look, this is probably bad. This is karma, probably, because I was on the phone to my mum saying, come on, mum, share the love, give us a five-star. And she's, I'm talking her through it. She's not the best on phones, so she was, what do I do with this one? I'm not sure where I am. And I was like, mum, just press the five stars. And she goes, three? I've done three stars. So I think from what I saw, we had a load of five stars, and then my mum's three-star rating.
Do you know what? I love that. That's a wonderful, wonderful story. So please, try and give us more than three stars if you do listen.
Yeah.
And tell your friends. Spread the word. We've had a great time so far recording these podcasts, and so may it rain. Thank you very much for your comments. Thank you for being interactive, and thank you for listening.
Thank you very much for listening, everyone. And we look forward to sharing the next episode next Monday.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.